Reading from the Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 10, Chapter 15, Text 6. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Ete linas tava yasho kila loka tirtham kayanta adi purusha nupatam bhajanti prayo ami munigana babadiya mukya kunham vane pina jahat yanagatma daivam. O original personality, these bees must all be great sages and most elevated devotees of yours. For they are worshiping you by following you along the path and chanting your glories, which are themselves a holy place for the entire world. Though you have disguised yourself within this forest, O sinless one, they refuse to abandon you, their worshipable Lord. Omagana timarandasya gananjana shalakaya taksurun mulatam yena tasmai sri gurave namaha sri chaitanya mano bhistam tapitam yena bhutale svayam rupa kadamayam dadati sapadantikam pancha kalpa tarubhyascha Kripa Sindhu Bhayevacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Nama Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Sri Vas Adi Gaur Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So, greetings from Vrindavan. It's kind of a busy time. They have the Govardhan retreats, the Japa retreats, people are coming, group after group. Right now, it's really wonderful. I'm with the Vaishnavas from Iran. And because they can't have deities, the holy name has become their deities. And the gratitude and appreciation they have when they're free to chant and hear about Krishna as devotees, it's quite a wonderful thing. Now, actually, the verse we're doing today, I'm working on for my Monday morning greeting, so you'll write about it. And the title of my article is To Be or Not to Be, the Kirtan verse. And it's Krishna glorifying the process of kirtan. I love finding in the Bhagavatam. Actually, in this chapter, there's two kirtan verses. One is on the glories of kirtan, and one is on how one should perform kirtan. But anyway, just to keep you an update on the story, and it's very, very important to actually, I'm having that experience now as I'm teaching this story in the 10th canto every day at 4 p.m. I'm having this this realization on the connection between hearing Krishna's pastimes and chanting the holy name. Because the way we advance in Krishna consciousness is by the Shakti. It's by the Shakti of the name. Nam Nam Akari Bahuda Nija Sarvish Shaktis. It has Shakti. And what is that Shakti? It's a Bhakti Shakti. And what is a Bhakti Shakti? It's an energy of allurement, attractiveness, and love that brings out the love within your own heart. So when we focus on acts and objects of devotion, we feel it. Because we have relationship with God. God is not different than his name. And when you have a relationship with someone, where the attention goes, energy flows. You feel that attractiveness, that desire to serve. And that desire to serve, specifically to serve God, who is the supreme object of love because he's eternal and real. We're also real in relationship to God. So when we focus and absorb ourselves in any of the items of devotional service, after all, the main, Rupa Goswami says, what the main rule in Krishna consciousness is to remember Krishna. And the main prohibition is not to forget him. The spiritual master is specifically expert in engaging the disciple, in finding the ways and means to engage his disciple in devotional service. Because there's a connection. And that connection brings out the real you, which is the soul. So that's how we advance when we become connected with the Supreme, which is not a material thing. It's a matter of consciousness. Because there's nothing outside of God. That's the illusion of the material world. The illusion of the material world is not to see God when God is there. God is everywhere. Not to see God is Maya, not this. It's an illusion. And when you're an illusion, you don't connect with the object properly or experience it in the right way. Or you experience in the wrong way. If you see a rope and you think it's a snake, you connect with that object out of fear, although the connection with the object may be one of utility. So this is how we advance. By connecting with Krishna, by seeing Krishna, by understanding Krishna, by being attentive to Krishna, by having the right attitude. Perception is dependent on three things. It's dependent on sensory input, but that's not enough. We have to be attentive to that sensory input to perceive it. There's many things we don't perceive that are within the purview of our senses because we're not attentive to it. Like if I'm giving the class now and you're daydreaming or thinking of your problem, the same sound vibration is there, but you're not experiencing it. So there's attentiveness, attitude. If you have the wrong attitude towards something, even though you will perceive it, you will see it in the wrong way. If you're envious of someone, you won't perceive their qualities even if they are there. And another aspect is knowledge. If you see something but you don't understand it, there's a question if you perceive what it is. Someone shows you something and you don't know what it is, do you actually perceive it? And love. Because some objects are not just a question of an effort to perceive. They first have to be perceptible, which means the nature of a person. A person gives himself in love. So all these things are required. And when we have attention, we have attitude, we have knowledge, and we have love, then we perceive what is there, which is Krishna. And perceiving Krishna means to feel Krishna. Because perceiving Krishna means to perceive him in terms of his relationship to us. So in terms of the Bhagavatam, we want to be absorbed in the holy name. So we have to understand, we have to have knowledge of the holy name. We have to have the right attitude of the holy name. We have to be perceptive of the holy name. We have to have love for the holy name. And the way to do that is by Shastra, specifically hearing the philosophy and stories of the person whose name you are chanting. I make this point very, very often. So by hearing these stories, I'm seeing the effect of being absorbed in Krishna Katha is on my own japa. I say something that has so much relevance for me because I have love for the person and therefore of the name I am chanting. So we read these stories, a healthy viewpoint to have is I'm so fallen that I have no love for Krishna. Indicating our desire to have that love, which is the qualification for our relationship with Krishna. So anyway, the story is very beautiful. Krishna enters into the forest. And it says, today, it's very, very auspicious. It's going to say, today, it's very auspicious. Adya. Danyayam Adya, it is very auspicious today because this is the day that Krishna goes to the forest. And the ultimate reality is one of love of the ultimate reality. The ultimate reality is an exchange between Krishna and his energies, and that exchange is love. The ultimate reality is love. And that means Eko Bahu Sham, the one becomes many for the purpose of love. So the spiritual reality has love, and they have love of Krishna. And love entails separation. So today they're fortunate because Krishna is entering into the forest. The earth is fortunate. Krishna is entering into the forest. And therefore, the forest becomes enlivened in service. Advancement in spiritual life means to become enlivened in service. Auspiciousness is the opportunity and facility for service. And service means liking. Bhakti is a liking. We like to serve. We like to please Krishna. Our happiness becomes God's enjoyment. So love in Vrindavan means to please Krishna. And everything is moving that way. Beautiful scene, Krishna's relationship with the trees of Vrindavan. It seems that the trees have a special place in his heart because patram pushpam palam toyam yome bhokta piyachati. Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, if one offers me with love and devotion a fruit, flower, and water, I will accept it. So three of the things, the main things that one can offer Krishna in love, fruit, flower, and leaf, they come for the trees. Three out of four things come to the trees. So these trees are not in ignorance. They're actually siddhas, they're perfected souls. And their example is meant to show us what auspiciousness is. Auspiciousness means to want to give to Krishna and having something to offer. And there'll also be a theme as we see the different animals approaching Krishna in the forest. The peacocks offer their beauty, the birds offer their songs, the does offer their intense, affectionate glances. The peacocks don't offer their singing. The birds don't offer their dancing. The does don't offer their beauty. So there's an element here that I think is very important in Krishna consciousness, is that everyone, both spiritually and internally and externally, has something to offer to Krishna. And when you do that, you become glorious. I see many devotees who are very simple, but at the end of their lives, they may receive greater accolades than great preachers. Then people are preaching even. You think, oh, people are preaching. But because what they had, they offered with such love and devotion. I know there was a lady who was an old lady who cooked the sweets in the manor, and they were the ultimate offering of love and sweets. They were so beautiful and colorful and artistic. So whatever you have, you can give to Krishna. And you can give it fully, and you can give it in love, and we all have something to give. Even internally, I love in the Rasa dance when it describes the different music that was coming. It described that every living entity had a melody, where every species of life has a particular melody. I think it's Vishwanath that goes so far as that every individual has a particular tune, inconceivably something to offer. We all have something we can offer to Krishna. There's even one verse I read in the Bhagavatam, Prabhupada said, Krishna has an individual form of mercy for each living entity. How individual. And we see that by the type of sadhus that appear in our lives and their way of communicating the truth that connects to us. That means it's a form of mercy by Krishna that's unique to certain people or even individuals. One definition of guru, one who talks our language. Our language is a euphemism, a term that means how we understand things. So Krishna has a, so it's very beautiful. They can all offer their best to Krishna. And the bees, specifically, it's described that, you know, the bees, the birds, the animals, they make very charming sounds. But Krishna becomes particularly attracted to the bees. And therefore, he says they must be great sages. Because what's a great sage? It's a muni. Muni is the same word as mauna. Mauna is silence. So great sages are silent. But these are mahagana. They're great sages. Sages are silent. These are muni gana. They're great munis. And what is a great muni? They're worshiping Krishna by chanting his glories. That's a great sage. The symptom of advancement in Krishna consciousness. If there's one symptom that gauges our advancement more than any other quality, is the level of our desire to hear about Krishna. So he says they're great sages because they're always chanting Krishna's glories. They're following Krishna's path. Here, literally, the bees are following the path of Krishna and chanting his glories. In a general sense, we follow the path of service. We follow Krishna by chanting his glories, which are themselves tirthams. Tirtha comes from the word tarati, which means a means of deliverance from material existence. So guru is tirtha, not just the place is tirtha. And therefore the holy name is a tirtha. But the holy name is such a tirtha that it's a kila loka. It's a tirtha for the whole world, because the holy name can be chanted anywhere. And therefore it almost has like a universal sense of being a tirtha. Very interesting. Where we intensely chant the holy name together, that becomes a holy place, because it's a place, it's an atmosphere just by being in, just by associating with, is the means for. And it's not just great sages, he says, Bhavadiya Mukya, among the devotees, the chief or most intimate are those who are doing kirtan. The bees are not only great sages, but the most elevated, because they're constantly chanting Krishna's glories. And they're following him, engaged in worshiping Krishna by following him in the path. And although Krishna is just dressed as a cowherd boy, And for the most part, just exhibiting just the normal activities and friendship, romance, and relationship with his parents. So he's disguised. And many people don't follow Krishna because they don't understand who he is. They see him as very mundane or mythological. So he's disguised in one sense. We've discussed this many times, how position covers personality. So for God to manifest himself fully in love has to shed his majesty so that he can reveal his friendship, which is not manifest when he takes such an imminent and majestic position. And there's such great devotees because of this process of chanting. It's very interesting. They not only refuse to abandon Krishna by some misconception, but they're very intimate, because even the bees, they're on Krishna's garland and they're buzzing around his head, and they enter into the groves where other animals even physically can't enter, into the forest bowers with their thick vines. So really it's affirmation that this process of chanting the holy name offensively brings one to the highest destination. And that's confirmed the Chaitanya Charitamrita, Taramadye Sarvashreshte Nama Sankirtan Nira Aparade Poya Paya Premadan. Of all the nine processes, devotional service, chanting the holy name is the best. And if it's done without offense, then one can attain prema. And specifically here, a very important word, of course, what's happening now is the symptom of a cultured and refined person is he doesn't bask in praise. He deflects praise. Because a cultured and refined person doesn't have an inflated conception of oneself. And certainly a true devotee cannot have an inflated conception of oneself, because they're not Maya, and therefore they see either the immanence or sweetness of Krishna. You see the immanence of Krishna, that Krishna is everything. So it says here, sinless one. Oh yeah, so the point is that the trees are actually bowing down to Krishna. The Krishna deflecting praise begins to talk about it as if that praise was to his brother Balaram. So he calls him sinless one, but it's also referring to himself in that sense. And sinless means, of course, we know what sinless means, but it has a deeper meaning. One who doesn't dwell on the faults of others. Krishna doesn't accept or even dwell on the faults of those who are chanting the holy name. Rather, he sees their service, and this should be our vision. We should have the heart and liberality of Krishna, rather than seeing others just more or less terms of parties and seeing others in terms of their mistakes or their faults. This is not the mood of one who is chanting constantly. Rather, one who is chanting constantly is offering all respects to others in a very humble way. Just like when Lord Chaitanya went to Raghunath Das Goswami, when Raghunath Das Goswami went to Lord Chaitanya, and he wanted to know, what is the sadhana and what is the siddha? What is the sadhana and what is the sadhya? What is the practice and what is the goal? So, to make a long story short, Lord Chaitanya told him that the goal is prema, and the method to attain prema is fourfold. Trinada pi sanichena, torora pi sahishnana, manina, madhinena, kirtaniya sadahari. It's fourfold. It's humility, it's tolerance, it's respect, and chanting the holy name constantly. And without those qualities, it's hard to chant the holy name constantly. So then describes how the different animals are offering everything to Krishna, and therefore they are dhanya, they're the most fortunate. The sagas at Tum, and they have the symptoms of great souls, and the symptom of great soul is they receive other great souls. Okay. And then after describing the peacocks, the cuckoos, they're so fortunate, cha, and every other animal. And the interesting thing about the Bhagavatam, it leaves a lot to our imagination. Not our imagination, but it leaves a lot. Like, for example, here, it doesn't mention all the animals, so you can meditate yourself what each animal, what their quality is that they could give to Krishna. So they're most fortunate. They're most fortunate because they can give to Krishna everything. And it's very interesting because it first describes the earth is fortunate because with his feet, he's touched the trees, he's touched the bushes and grass with his foot. In fact, every particle of dust in Vrindavan, Krishna has stepped upon. So the earth has become fortunate because Krishna has touched the earth with his feet. So there's three types of fortune, which are the symptoms of prema bhakti. There is the direct contact with Krishna, there's the service of Krishna, and there's having a relationship with Krishna. Those are the three types of fortune. Because these are the way you connect to someone, by directly being with them. By rendering service to them, and by developing relationship with them. So how fortunate the earth that finally, after great anticipation, Krishna's lotus feet touches the earth and makes irreplaceable imprints Krishna makes with his feet. And the finger males, he takes the flowers. So the nature of the trees in Vrindavan is when Krishna comes into the forest, they blossom. And people collect flowers to offer to Krishna, okay, I gotta probably have another about 5 minutes. I told you, I get up very, very, very early. And today I only had a 10-minute nap. So let's see if I make it through. So these are the three types of prema. So the feet are most connected with the earth, even though he must climb trees and he bays. But the earth is fortunate because of his feet, the imprints of his feet. That connection, the whole earth becomes ecstatic in direct connection with Krishna. And the trees and the creepers, Krishna's hands takes the offering of flowers. And the mountains and the birds and the animals and the rivers, by Krishna's glance, he develops a relationship. I'm really going to have to stop now because I can see I'm not going to be so much able to continue the class. But if anyone wants to ask questions or say hello. Hi, Bo.
Thank you, Maharaj. That was a beautiful, beautiful class.
Okay, Henry, great. You can meditate on that. Thank you. Anybody else like to say hello?
Hare Krishna Maharaj.
Hare Krishna Maharaj.
It was a beautiful class. Lots to think about.
It's what we should be thinking about. And when we occupy our minds with these things, then a lot of other things that don't necessarily have to be there have no room. So that's good. Anybody else like to say hello?
Hare Krishna Maharaj. Dr. Gopinath here.
Okay. And who else?
Hare Krishna Guru Maharaj. This is Lee.
And Bree. Hare Krishna.
Lee and Bree. Okay. We'll see Lee in India soon. Who else?
Hare Krishna Maharaj. It's Gail.
Okay. Hare Bo. A few more people.
Hare Krishna Maharaj. Hare
Krishna Maharaj. Hare Krishna
Maharaj.
Hare
Krishna Maharaj.
Okay, you're back after a while. Anybody else?
Yes, I just got the number, the new number.
Okay, good. Anybody else?
Gopa and Jaya Sri Radhe here, Guru Maharaj.
Okay, great. Hear the Bhagavatam, so auspicious. Anybody else?
Hi, Krishna Maharaj, it's Janine.
Good, Janine, thank you. Anybody else? Okay. Anyway, excuse me for ending a little bit early today, but, you know, usually I take a nap during the day, so I'm ready for the class, but it was really wonderful. We went out with they chant with such heart because they're very cultured people. It's just really wonderful. It's like, wow. Okay, thank you all. I'm going to have to go now. Bunch of Copa Tubers.